The 2017-18 season begins in October with an updated version of the record-breaking off-Broadway musical, I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
It's a perfect name.
At the George Street Playhouse, we are joined by Lindsay Nicole Chambers and George Merrick. Thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you so much, Doug.
It's a new adaptation. George, give us a quick synopsis of what people can expect. It's, you take it from your first date to marriage to later in life, but give us a real short summary of what the show's about.
Well, first of all, the show is extremely funny. It's poignant. There's a lot for all kinds of different types. And the updated version, you know, the show ran in New York for 10 years off Broadway. It was extraordinarily successful. But, you know, dating has changed a lot in the last 20 years. So they've updated, they've written completely new songs for it. They've updated, written completely new scenes for it. Basically what it is, it's a humorous kind of offbeat look at the trials and tribulations of dating, falling in love, and being married. And it's set to extremely fun and funny music with a great punchy script. And I think people can expect a fast-moving ride, you know, nothing too blue, nothing too serious, but real heartfelt moments, really funny moments, and just a really nice, diverse night of theater.
Yeah. Comedy.
Comedy.
You love it, don't you, Lindsay?
I love it. I love it better than crying.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
What sparked the comedic side?
I think for me, you know, I never knew how to answer that question. And then recently I got super, super psyched to see Carol Burnett live. And it was like, oh, right, because I watched Carol Burnett as a kid. I mean, I remember that TV show. I remember the cartoon of her sweeping, you know, mopping the floor up. It, like, that, huge for me. Huge. I mean, just little silly vignettes. So you get to see how to, like, be hilarious in a bunch of different ways with a bunch of different characters and a bunch of different ridiculous scenarios, you know? So I think that was, for me, the biggest thing. But it was like TV in the 80s, too, was so funny and so weird. I don't know. I think I just learned how to be weird and learned how to, you know, try to be a bunch of different characters by watching TV.
Since this is about relationships, do you think it's easier or harder to be in a relationship today than it was back when this was originally performed?
Probably harder, right? I mean, there's so much. Well, it's definitely harder to be a kid these days. So I don't know if it's harder to be in a relation. I mean, to date now. But there's, you know, there's like so much. Like there's Twitter and there's Tinder and there's Grindr and there's all these like things that I feel like terrible about. I've been in a relationship for 10 years, so I feel like thank God I don't have to date now because I wouldn't know what to do with myself, I don't think.
What do you think, Jordan?
I think dating is always hard. I think it's, yeah, in some ways, it's sort of like the question about, you know, have smartphones brought us closer together or further apart? And I feel like dating, there's certainly no, I think there used to be stigmas about like dating apps. And now, yeah, it is just, that's just an accepted fact of life. Even kids who are coming out of school,
yeah,
you know, at 23, 24 years old, they're on the apps. They certainly don't need to be on the apps. They're
kids in school are on the apps.
That's what I'm saying.
In college.
Yeah. I think dating is always hard. I think the apps make it easy to meet people, but it also makes it, it's sort of deceptive because you think, oh, well, there's always going to be somebody else another swipe away. And it's sort of like, for me, it's easier dating now that I'm a little older because I know what I want. And, you know, the relationships seem to have more meaning for me now than they did when I was younger, because I think you always feel like you're going to be young forever. And it's like, you know.
Yeah. And you know who you are now that we're of a certain age. I find that I'm more like, you know,
oh, sure.
confident in myself.
Right. So dating for me now is extremely easy. I'm, you know, I met, you know, my girlfriend on a dating app, and I never thought I would do that.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
On a dating app. Mm-hmm. So it worked for you.
It worked big time.
We just saw her outside, and she's real cute. She's a good-looking lady.
She might be in the building.
Now, you have to be honest. Was it the physical attraction right away on the app, or was there something about her bio?
Well, initially it is, because all you do when you on the app, you just see their profile, and
it's like pictures in a short blurb, right?
Right, and yeah. And the pictures were certainly pleasing, and then we met. And then it was just like, you know, it was like, whoa, who's this? So, but she's somebody that I never would have met, because she's in a completely different field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as actors, we have that weird thing of like
actors date other actors.
Our hours are so strange. So, like, if you meet a 9 to 5, when would you meet a 9 to 5er? You know, because we go to a bar after a show.
Right.
At 11 o'clock at night, right? And
And also, you know, when you do shows, shows are these intense experiences where you have all the in-jokes and everybody laughs, and, like, you kind of fall in love with your cast anyway, even romantically or non-romantically, like, you become very close. But that kind of has, like, I think that has a little bit of a danger to it, because oftentimes the relationships that you make during a show romantically won't last past when the show closes.
They don't make it out of the bubble of the show.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I always said, you know, when I was younger, I'm only going to date actors because they understand what I go through.
Right.
And I don't want to have to explain to somebody what a 10 out of 12 is, or this and that and the other thing. And then I was like, George,
broaden your horizons. You have to talk to somebody.
You can tell somebody what a 10 out of 12 is, and then you never have to say it again.
Right, it's like, going to be fine.
Not,
it's all going to be fine.
It's not that big a deal.
We're speaking with George Merrick and Lindsay Nicole Chambers, two of the stars of the musical I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, running through November 12th at the Interim George Street Playhouse, which happens to be on the Cook campus at Rutgers University at College Farm Row, the facility there housing the theater's administration's offices, the prop and costume shops, and rehearsal space. Lindsay, you get to play many roles in this show. What do you like about that?
Well, I think for all of us, we play so many different characters, so it's not just one role.
Right,
so
and you're going through different ages too, right?
Yeah, you get to be a whole lot of different weirdos and non-weirdos, but mostly all weirdos. It's just a whole bunch of, you know, funny.
And you like to play that role.
Oh, yeah. Because that we're all weirdos. No matter, I mean, we all try not to be. You know, everybody has their, like, cool outside facade. maybe some not as cool. I'm pointing to myself right now. But, you know, everybody's a weirdo on the inside. It's just how high you actually let your freak flag fly, I think.
When you were in school in Columbus, do you remember making people laugh? Were you like that type of person in school?
Yeah. I think I've always been the sort of class clown. And I even, you know, I feel like my parents have pictures of me in diapers, like, in front of a bunch of people. So I've apparently been doing this my whole life. So I don't remember. I mean, I definitely got training in how to, you know, kind of figure out your craft, you know, like how to actually make jokes work and make scripts funny and how to land a laugh. But I think I've been kind of doing this my whole life, I think.
And when the tour of Kinky Boots came to your hometown, mm-hmm. that had to be special for you.
It was really special. I had like my sixth grade drama teacher came to see it and was like, "Do you remember me?" Like, yeah, I remember you. You were like a big deal for me. You're still a big deal for me. Just so cool. It was so cool to see like the friends and the teachers and of course my family came too, but throughout the ages of Lindsay Nicole Chambers, it was a crazy ride.
crazy ride. I know that you had, George, in things like Honeymoon in Vegas, the person who used to live across the street from you, Tony Danza. And when it comes to also working with David Saint now, you've worked with David in Clever Little Lies with Marlo Thomas in the off-Broadway production. How has it been working with David again here at George Street? Now, it's at the interim venue, so this is really still your George Street debut, correct?
Well, exactly, and I didn't do, I didn't do Clever Little Lies at George Street. I did it, in New York. I was delighted to work with David. I knew that David and I, ever since we met and did Clever Little Lies, that we get along really well. We work very well together. After Clever Little Lies ended, I was immediately wanting to work with him again because I just love the way he works. And also with Joe DiPietro doing it, it was just a big plus. And Joe is so good at writing those quick to the point, heartfelt, funny, offbeat kind of scenes. And I think David has such a good eye for that kind of thing, and David's sense of humor and his sensibility. I was really, really psyched to be working with him again. David is a one-of-a-kind kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one David Saint in the world. And he's a great director. And, I'm proud to call him my friend because, a lot has happened over the last 2 years. And I remember coming in for something last year at George Street, and it didn't work out. But I was so happy to see David again, and I hadn't seen him in 6 months. When this came up, I said, "Wow, that's going to be really cool working with him again."
And I'd never met him before, but it's funny that you say you wanted to just hang out with him at an audition. And we have mutual friends, David and I. So even me coming into the room, it was such a oh my gosh, these people that we have in common. It was like such an easy, friendly, fun audition because he's just such a cool, easygoing guy.
David Saint is an old school raconteur.
Yeah.
He can command a table and he tells you the stories and you just get so into it. He knows everybody. He's got a story for everybody. And it's just like one of those personalities. You don't see them much anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's old school.
It's old school. I imagine that's what it would be like to be around, Errol Flynn or one of these old kind of Hollywood stars who know everybody and they come in.
And
David is always impeccably dressed. Not a stitch or hair out of place.
No, always a new, fancy jacket with a pocket square in a, fabulous
print
and a fabulous color.
French cuffs, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always exciting to interview actors here on the WBGO Journal. But, Georgia, I must say, the fact that you went to Tenafly High School, it's great to know all your success. But to me, what's really impressive is that you give back already to that school. And you've helped out with some of their productions. I think that says a lot about your makeup.
Well, and also the people that taught me there. When I was in Tenafly High School, the drama director was a man named James Collins, who has since retired. And he was really instrumental in where my whole decision to become an actor, where to apply to schools. He took time out of his day to coach me for my auditions for college, which I ended up getting in. But not only that, I had moved to Tenafly when I started high school from another town and I didn't know anybody. So finding the drama department and sitting with the drama kids in the cafeteria was a big thing for me in finding my identity. And then just doing all the shows there. It was a real home for me. And I went back probably 2 years ago. They were refurbishing the auditorium, and I went back to do a benefit concert there and sing a song that I had written and performed it. And it was great to see all the other Tenafly High School theater types who had graduated who came back who felt exactly the same way, like they wanted to give up of their time because it was such an important part of our lives. And Tenafly High School has churned out a lot of Broadway actors, you know, Lea Michele and Alex Gimignani and
Ed Harris
and Tate Donovan and
you went to like out of town LaGuardia
Davis.
High School.
Very very much so, very much so. But it was a program that really, you know, fostered that in kids, and the shows were great fun. They were great fun, and the theater club that we used to go to after school. We used to go and play theater games and to do like freeze or experts where you have to like
zip,
some
zap zap
right where this game experts where you have to basically field any question about something that you know nothing about and you have to BS your way through it with conviction. And it's such a good, I have used those tools when I've been on stage and gone up and something's gone wrong.
Oh my God, that makes me so nervous.
You have to become an expert.
Yeah.
So, and then we would go to Burger King and Closer afterwards and we would have chicken tenders. that was my
your high school.
High school. Yeah, yeah. But getting back to your conversation, Doug, with Lindsay about humor, I always feel like humor always comes from truth and to some degree pain.
Yeah,
there has been a lot of humor comes from unhappy places, and mm-hmm. I think any successful comedian will tell you that. Most stand-up comedians that I know have processed a great deal of personal emotional trauma.
Yeah. Sad clowns.
And I, yeah, exactly. And I think that it's like salt and sugar. In order for you to really sort of, you know,
find the joy, find the funny.
Be funny is when you come from pain.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, but that's the way it is, really. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think maybe that's why so many people can laugh at joke. Like, that's why people love comedy, because everybody is, you know, it's coming from that place of everybody has experienced.
Absolutely. And there are those awkward sorrows in I Love You, You're Perfect. It's a great example. You see that throughout the script.
Mm-hmm.
You see funny moments coming from real truth. And real pain.
And you get to laugh at yourself.
Totally.
And you get to laugh at the people you're in relationships with or have been in relationships with. It's just, it's a real sort of human experience sort of show. Gay, straight, like young, old, everybody will be able to pick themselves out of one of these scenes.
It's like one of those things, like, you know, when, you know, you watch a show like Sex and the City at its best, or, mm-hmm. you know, a show like that where you look at it and you go, oh my God, that's so us. Or, oh my God,
yep.
That's so... There is a lot of that in I Love You, You're Perfect.
Or there's cringing and being like, oh my God, I have done that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, that didn't happen. No, he's not going to do that. Oh.
He did it. He
yeah.
did it.
But the melodies are so... They're so surprising.
Yeah.
They're so varied. Just when you think you're getting into... Just when you think like a song is getting into like, okay, I've heard... It like changes.
Yeah. And they're all super hooky. Like, they've done it. I mean, there's a reason it ran for 10 or 12 years or 15, however long it ran off Broadway. It's everything is super catchy, super clever, and I think really very memorable.
As they say, it's tight.
It's tight.
Absolutely. And we're speaking with two of the stars of I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. We're speaking with Lindsay Nicole Chambers and George Merrick. Now, Mitchell Jarvis is... He was sitting right in the same chair that you're sitting in when he was at George Street and performing.
Oh.
So he's been on the WBGO Journal, but we don't know Karen Berthright. She has not been here. So tell us a little bit about Mitchell and Karen's role in the show.
Well, I mean, they do the same thing as we do. They're just, we all play everybody, you know, we're all every men, every women sort of characters. But
and the couples interchange. And I'm, for instance, Lindsay and I bookend the show. We have the first scene and then we have the final scene where we play two old people.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're all paired up differently and we kind of rotate partners as the show goes
on. And we all have a triumph and we all have like a humiliation or a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a bunch of smackdowns that happened to some of the characters, I think.
Yeah.
So that's kind of unique chemistry because you have to establish a different rapport with each setting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Very much so.
And I think the rapport of the group is super important too, just being able to, you know, enjoy each other and play off of each other, you know, in different couplings, mm-hmm. right after each other, you know.
I had never worked with Karen before or Lindsay.
Yeah.
Karen is just one of those people. She comes into rehearsal and she's just like sunshine.
Yeah.
She's like everything is just professional and polished and giving. I have enjoyed working with her very much. Mitch was somebody that I had known. I remember I was in a show in New York and Mitch was doing Rock of Ages, and I didn't really know Mitch at that point, but I remember seeing his performance on the Tony Awards and thinking that he was just absolutely dynamite.
He's so funny.
And
he's so funny.
That performance that he gave for the Tonys when he was standing in front of Liza Minnelli and he was doing the whole thing back and forth, I'm like, who is this guy? He was so gonzo.
Yeah.
But Mitch, it's so funny. Mitch is such a thoughtful, the quiet, you know.
He's a bit brooding.
Brooding,
actually.
That's a good word. You would think that he was like this clown, like he's, yeah, you know, like kind of off the wall, but that was just the character that he played. He's really actually very contemplative, and he thinks about things, and he talks about very deep issues and very deep scientific.
Yeah, the first couple of days, I was already like,
philosophy.
Oh, wow, we're going there. Like, we're already, like, Mitch is bringing it.
He was talking about, like, Nietzsche. And, yeah.
Like, in our breaks, we were right. Like, this is, okay, wow, I was just.
I love it. I love
so,
it.
For real, the real people, not the characters that you're playing, you're all at a party, right?
Okay.
Who's kind of stealing the show, the party, between the four of you?
I think Lindsay is.
Oh, it's funny. I was going to say, I think you are because you're so like under the radar, but you're like, George, I was like, at first I was like, oh, George is so serious, but he's like just making jokes all the time. And once you like click into his like, the thing that he's doing,
yeah,
it's just
it takes
hilarious.
People a while to sort of get used to the way I'm a fairly dry guy. And, some things I say aren't funny at all, but people laugh at them anyway. And I know it would be. I think it would be you, Lindsay.
You?
Yeah, because you're. I think you're more. You're naturally more gregarious than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
But I'd want to be. I'd want to be at that party.
My teenage self is like really psyched that George said that I would be like the life of the party. So I'm gonna let that. I'm gonna let that be the answer.
I did summer stock theater before I ever came to New Jersey, so you know that's a long time ago. So, but I know that one of the roles that you would like to play is Louisa in Fantastics.
Oh my gosh!
Right? And I played
just a
El
role
Gallo.
That I will never play. Oh, El Gallo.
And that was only one of two shows I ever was in summer stock theater, and I loved that show.
The
so when
Fantastics.
I heard that you wanted to be in the Fantastics. Oh.
I think like the closest I'll ever get to maybe like the only thing that I could ever possibly do in the Fantastics at this point is, you know, if they change one of the dads to a mom.
Right.
That's the closest that I'll ever get.
And you
but
would be
oh, I just
wonderful
love
that
show.
You would be wonderful
oh,
as one of the moms
so
in that.
One of the moms. We need to do a gender swap a version of the Fantastics.
Why not?
All right.
Why
well,
not?
Doug, set it up.
George. Tony Danza says, you're so inventive.
Mm-hmm.
What's your response to that?
I'm flattered, of course. You know, Tony and I became good friends when we did Honeymoon in Vegas. Both at we did it out at Paper Mill, and then we did it again in New York. But Tony was actually my neighbor, and we played on the softball team. And I actually just saw him a few weeks ago. I was driving down the street, and he was at a cafe outside and he was reading a paper and I was at a light and I stuck my head out the window and I didn't want to say, hey, Tony, because like everybody says that to him. So I sang a little lyric from one of the songs he sang in Honeymoon in Vegas. I said, hey, Donna, didn't I tell you that? And he looked around and he said, hey, George, hey, what are you doing? So
Tony Danza, that's so cool.
Yeah, Tony's the man. Tony's the man. And Tony, you know, now Tony does all his, you know, his singing with the big bands. And that dude is,
yeah,
is
I saw that show at Paper
a one-man force of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
Why would you want to be Roxy?
Why would Chicago? I want to be Roxy? Because that's, I feel like, what I do best. I like, so if casting in New York City is listening, I would like to be Roxy in Chicago. Thank you.
You like that direct...
Oh, I want to
right?
look at the audience and like sort of I like making people feel like funnily uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. I just grew up. I grew up loving that style of dance. I think that's the kind of I used to be sort of a dancer. I think that's the kind of dancing that I did best with my, you know, short body. And, you know, I was never going to be a ballerina. So, yeah, I just love the style. I love the music, love the acting, love the dancing in that one.
People have loved you in Submissions Only, the online comedy, which is I know has come to a close, but I know you have said that people recognize you wherever you go from that.
That's like the big one I got when I was just I was touring the country with I opened the tour of Kinky Boots, and we were all over the country, and the one thing I got in the, like, you know, the stage door line was, oh my God, we love Submissions Only so much. And that was like so great, because I had no idea that it had, I mean, I knew a lot of people in this area knew what it was, but to be in Seattle or California, or like where, you know, in the middle of the country especially, was really cool that people loved that show so much, because I loved that show so much too.
Very funny show.
So right. Much fun.
And you can go back and see old episodes. So,
yes,
you know,
submissionsonly.com. Yeah. Maybe submissionsonlytv.com. I don't know. You should Google it.
So now that this whole play, I Love You, you know, I Love You, You're Perfect Now Change, has been totally reworked for today's audience, what do you want couples or single people who go to the show, George, what do you want them to be talking about as they leave? Is this going to strengthen their relationships, or are they going to have more, you know, more things to talk about?
I think I Love You, You're Perfect Now Change in its totality is pro-relationship, and I think that the message is one that's positive for sure. It is, yes, there are challenges, and yes, there's heartbreak, and yes, there's illness and death and all these other things, and humiliation and bad dates and stuff, but I think one of the reasons why this show endures as much as it is because it is essentially a celebration of love.
Yeah.
It's not a cynical take. And that's what makes it so much fun to play as an actor too. It's always better when you can, you know, aim upwards and you're not commenting and you're not, you know, it's a celebration of relationships. And I think if I went with my girlfriend to the show, I think we would have a lot to talk about,
yes,
and a lot to laugh
so much
about.
To talk about.
Because everything is laid so bare out there. It's sort of like there's no shame in it. It's all the lights on it. Like, there it is. Here we are. We have warts and all. Like,
right.
Love me.
And like we said earlier, too, I mean, everybody's going to be able to find themselves or some situation that happened to them in the show. It just like covers everything.
And one of the new things that they've written, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I just suffice it to say that it's hilarious, and it is based on a rather new phenomenon that is you know, having to do with cell phones,
smartphone related.
Smartphone, and it's just they're like, oh no, they're not going to go there. Oh my God,
they did.
So, you know, that wasn't in the original version. You know, we've updated a lot of the dialogue and of course that new song.
But a lot of the same favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they didn't. The stuff that everyone loves is still in there. So if this is like somebody returning from, like, oh my God, I'm so glad I get to see this the show again, they're going to see the stuff that they loved about it the first time as well. It's been tweaked.
Yeah, no one's going to go, hey,
I missed that one thing that the meow meow.
Lindsay, your folks coming?
Yes. I don't know when, but yes.
George, I would imagine quite a contingent from Tenafly High School will be showing up for this.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. You know, a lot of my family is in Bergen County, and yes, I have put out an email to the gentleman who's running the music program at Tenafly High School now, Jim Millar. He's been great about having me come back and talk to the kids and directing for a day and, you know, giving them master classes. I had put out a bulletin to him saying, look, anybody who wants to come, you know, I'll arrange it. Let's, you know, have a group thing come for the kids to see it. But yeah, I always like keeping those lines open mm-hmm. and established because, you know,
yeah,
that's what it's all about.
Roger Merrick Spicer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about him.
So this is my mother's father. He was a brilliant man. Grew up in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Had a hard life. Was physically maimed as a child. Lost his brother as a young boy. But had a brilliant mathematical mind. Got a full scholarship to Rensselaer. Never knew him. And my mother now says, she always says to me, he died 3 months after I was born. And my mother said, he used to hold you as a baby and say, I could have taught him so much. Because Roger was one of those guys who knew how to fix everything. You know, whether it was a car or a radio. He was a ham radio operator. And he had these very intricate model train sets that were all over the basement, and my family still has them. But yeah, a brilliant man.
Maybe that's where the term inventive came from, Tony Danza. Maybe you got a little bit of that inventiveness from him.
I think my inventiveness, if it exists at all, is more of a situational kind of verbal inventiveness as opposed to a mathematical inventiveness. Like, math is not something that I'm good at all. I'm a performer.
We have calculators on our phones.
Right. I'll be inventive all day long on stage, but mm-hmm.
Or in front of a mic.
If I have to put an IKEA chair together, I am not your guy.
Call TaskRabbit.
Lindsay, just 2 miles from the home of the George Street Playhouse is now where the interim, where you are performing.
Yes.
On the campus of the Cook campus of Rutgers, College Farm Road. How has that venue been for you?
We haven't been yet.
Oh, you haven't actually
been
there yet?
No, our first day is Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. We've seen pictures, though, of the stage being built and, like, the light trusses and it looks so
the
cool.
Platforms,
yeah. They have, like, a super urban sort of almost deconstructed architectural idea for the set of the show that is really, really cool. Cool lighting, kind of bare but cool.
How does a set change your approach? I mean, does it at all?
I mean, yeah. For me, especially costumes do. I mean, you know, once I'm in a costume, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is her. But set-wise, it's always really interesting to get on set. And it just, I mean, it does. It affects the way that you walk. It affects somehow the way that you act, I think, in the space. It just, like, being in the home of the show is really important.
We look forward to lots of laughs in this wonderful show. And I can now say with confidence, you've done well, my son, George, when it comes to your online dating here, as your lady is right behind me.
Yep.
You've done well.
Thank you very much.
The George Street Playhouse has its new production of I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, and we've been speaking with the stars of the show. Lindsay Nicole Chambers, what a delight to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And George Merrick, for everybody who's ever seen you and knows you from Tenafly High School to your wonderful career now as an actor, you know, I'm sure we're all looking forward to lots of laughs from you on stage as well.
Thank you, Doug. It was a pleasure being here.